Thank you, microdose.com. That's all I have to say right now. I have been traveling so much, planes, cars, like long, long drives. My body hurts, you know, sleeping in different beds, in different hotels, you know, everything's kind of screwy. And thank you, microdose.com. I know you've heard the word microdose before, but this is microdosing THC. And microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And you deserve to feel good. You can go to their website, microdose.com, and learn all about microdosing THC. But I'm telling you, it is amazing. They have all different strains that help with all different issues. A friend of mine just sent me a photo of her with her order from microdose.com saying thank you. I'm telling you, a lot of people do this, all sorts of people. And they do it to feel healthier. They do it to perform better. They do it to focus. They do it to sleep. They do it for pain. They do it for relaxation. It really helps your mind and body be at peace. So really check it out. Microdose.com is amazing. And the product, they taste delicious, number one. But the product is so damn good. And you deserve to feel better. So what are you going to do? You're going to go to microdose.com. If you don't already know, you're going to learn about microdosing THC. And when you get there, you're going to get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Promo code Judy Gold. It is available nationwide. That is microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, for 30% off and free shipping. That is a lot, 30% off. And the stuff is amazing. I'm telling you, microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold. You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. Let's bring her out. The star attraction, the one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Very, very, I hate, that's how my ex used to say very, very. She probably still does it. Yeah, she used to go, he's very, very competent. He's very, and she's from Connecticut, so I don't know, but everything was very. But our guest today is very, very hilarious. And I am a snob with the comedy, and I fucking love her stand-up.
That is the nicest thing.
No, you're the best. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Adrienne Appalucci is here. Come on, everyone. Woo!
Thank you.
I'm starting quickly because we were already talking, and I wanted to continue the line of So Adrienne's in the Bronx where she grew up, but we'll get to that later. And, you know, this is so funny because you just said to me, you know, because there's nothing for comics to do right now, that you were like, oh my God, I'm afraid I'm going to have to become a barista. And I used to think that all the time, all through up until like my 50s, which I'm in, but all through that, I was like, I used to be like, okay, so I can still become a real estate agent and I can still do like, I think of all the things because this business sucks so much. And now I'm in my late 50s and I'm like, I can't be a fucking waitress. I can't stand up for like more than 20, you know? So it goes down. Adrienne, you are fucking hilarious.
That is so nice. Cause I'm like, as a newer comic, I mean, not now cause I'm doing it a while, but like, I was a little scared of you.
Why does everyone says
that? I think because you have a strong personality and I thought you were so funny. And if you thought I was horrible, I might have quitted.
No, quit.
Quitted. I don't even know how to talk about it. I've been
But you could have been an English teacher. So that's good.
I've been out of society so long, I don't even know how to act. I don't even know how to talk anymore.
It's so people don't realize how, like, we're doing Zoom shit and podcasts and shit, but how the first of all, the camaraderie with the comics, because we talk to each other. It's like, it's a relief that you can say the shit you really think to someone because you can't say it to regular people.
That's part of doing stand-up. Like, that's not just the job is on stage. It's like the hang before, the hang after. Like, that part is the hardest part, I think, right now.
It's the culture. Yeah. It's like that we go in and we hang out with each other and we're like, fuck, you know, whatever we say that we can't say to regular people. Plus, you know, the live audience, even bombing and getting off stage and being like, oh my God, that fucking, like everything about it. I don't know about you, but about 9 o'clock every night, I am like, hey, how's everyone doing? Like, I get a burst of energy and everyone in my house is like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I'm like, showtime. It's my whole clock is fucked up.
The whole clock is fucked up. I've done a couple Zoom shows. They're just, they're not great. I dread every one of them. I mean, I used to dread doing stand-up too, because I'd always be like, I'm going to bomb this show. That's what I said before every show.
Right.
And even if I bombed or didn't bomb, I always had fun. I mean, like, even a bomb.
Right.
I remember one time when I first got past at the Comedy Cellar, I was like super nervous to be there. I like was eating it just so hard. And I was like, I wish I could just push a button, fall through the floor. Like, I just remember saying that on stage and then getting off the stage and, telling my friends, like, when you're bombing, you should just have to eat, like, because, you know, you call it like eating a dick on stage.
Right.
Like, you should just have to eat dick cookies while you're bombing on stage. But even that's still funny to tell your friends. Like,
But it's just also because it's brutal honest. That's why I find you so funny, because first of all, I know people say you have a dark humor, but I think it's the truth. It's the fucking truth. And it's like a great comic says what everyone's thinking and is afraid to say. And it's just, all right, let's just start at the beginning. Cause first, your album is out, which is fucking great too. Plus, everyone needs to follow Adrian, which I'll say this at the end, on Instagram, because you're fucking, I'm telling you, you're one of a kind. Okay.
You might have just saved my career. Last night I was like, I'm seriously like, I consider quitting almost every day.
Oh, and God.
I know I'm realistically, I wouldn't become a barista, but I do seriously consider becoming a mechanic
and being able
to work on my own car. I hate going to a mechanic.
Wait,
and
here's the problem. I know. They're really mean to women. They're really
very mean.
Yeah.
They think we're the dumbest.
Right. And it's like, you're the fucking dumbest and fuck you. And also like the window guy, right? So we just got all these new windows done. And Elisa, my lover, runs her family's real estate company. And she's a therapist, really, but she had to quit and run. And so she knows all about the shit. So we get the new windows. And like, I don't know if you can see this move. Mm-hmm. And you know, like they send an invoice. Oh, you didn't pay the full invoice. It's like, you didn't finish the fucking work. You know, like they...
Yeah.
And all the owners around here, most of them are men, gay men, and they don't fuck with the men. They don't fuck with the men.
No.
And so fuck that shit. But wait, would you get on that roller thing and go underneath the car? Because I could never get up from that.
Oh, that's true. I was just thinking I wouldn't even care if the car killed me. But you're right. How would I get up?
You know that thing on the wheels, that wooden thing, and you have to go underneath?
You probably can get one where you push a button and it lifts you slowly for like older women who become mechanics. Do you know what I mean?
Like those chairs that
the lifts, and slowly you just stand up and then tell the person they owe you $5 million for an oil change.
Yeah. I had that done to me actually over the COVID pandemic. And he's like, yo, these air filters. And they were white. I go, he's like, hey, you have to get the ale. And I look at them and they're fine. And then I go, I said, all right, fine, whatever. And then I get home and Elise's like, you had your air filters done.
They don't care.
2 months ago. And I'm like, oh, fuck. They just fucking lie. Sick of
it. My boyfriend took my car to get an oil change and they did change the air filters. And he's like, no, they actually were really dark and needed it. But like they told him the truth. They probably would tell me that.
They would. I know. Right. Adrian, you were born and bred and still live in the Bronx, New York. Your father was a mailman. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. And a gambler.
And again, how did you find all this? Would you just Google me?
I do my research. Okay. Everyone comes on the podcast and is like, wait.
Yeah. How do you know this?
I know it. And you have a sister.
I do have a sister.
And you, your father's dead, but we'll get to that later.
He is dead.
Both of my parents, God rest their soul, dead. You have sort of acrimonious relationship with your mother.
Yes.
Okay. So.
Do you know my mom also does stand up?
Yes. And I know your mother.
I know it. You know my mother? Oh, okay.
Well, now I know she was a stand up. We're going to get all into this. I started at the beginning. So you grow up in the Bronx.
Yes.
Is it like normal? Like, I know that your mother is, first, I know your mother. This is the fucking best story.
I want to know how you know all this stuff.
Because I do research, Adrian. That's my job as a podcast host.
Hilarious.
Because my podcast is about, I love to know about the like, I don't give a shit about, you know, oh, I'm plugging this, I'm plugging that. Because that'll happen.
Yeah.
You know, that happens in the podcast. But I love to know, I love what makes people tick. Like, I really want,
I get that.
You know? And I love that you're so, I just love your sense of humor. So I, you know, whatever. I'm interested in, you know, where you developed it. So anyway, your mother at your sister's kindergarten graduation, is that correct?
Yes. I already know where this is going.
This is hilarious
to me that you know all this.
I love it. Got in a fucking fist fight? Like, what the fuck? So wait.
I grew up just fighting. Like, that's every day I had to go out and, like, fight. Like, I was a boxer. It was the weirdest thing growing up like that. And I wasn't even living in, like, the South Bronx and getting picked on by, like, you know. It was all white people. Do you remember, like, where I grew up in that area? It was very, like, Italian and Irish.
Pelham Parkway.
I grew up in Morris Park.
Morris Park, right.
Yeah. And now, right. I think now the Bronx is where I live anyway, is a lot more diverse. But back then it was just very Italian or Irish. And there was this girl that lived downstairs and her mom would make her and her daughter fight me and my sister. And like, we just weren't fighters as kids.
Wait,
and
I remember, physically fight?
Yes, physically fight. Like, just they were mean to us for no reason. And like, that's not how I was as a kid.
Right. Because you have to develop that fucking, because you're,
And I remember being in roller skates and this girl pushed me. My father was just like, get up and fight her. He wasn't even like, hey, let me help you up. But like, that's my mom grew up. And then my mom had to fight, like, go tell that. They wouldn't let them play with us. And then my mom had to
go, they lived below us.
And my mom had to go like threaten to fight her mother so that like, they would stop this weird feud with us. I mean, I grew up around so much fighting that it's just such a big part. I mean, like, my family, the way the fighting I grew up with and dysfunction, I honestly told my therapist I never knew I had a fucked up childhood just because no one fucked me as a kid. That was my lowest line. And he was like, your childhood was terrible.
You know, like, I have said that to my therapist, like, you know, but I wasn't like raped and pillaged. And they're like, yeah, but you were emotionally
abused.
I come from fighting. I come from major bullying. Like, it's fucked up. And then the things you do in your brain to comfort yourself that end up fucking your head up, you know, for the rest of your life. So is your sister older than you?
My sister's younger than you.
Okay. Yeah. So you're the oldest. And so how big, like, was it a two family home?
No, we lived in a two-bedroom apartment until I was 18.
Oh, okay. Okay. So
with like a huge Rottweiler, like the apartment was so small that we used to joke that the Rottweiler couldn't turn around the room. She had to back out. It's like so crazy. Why have a Rottweiler in a two-bedroom apartment with four people? Like, it's just the things that happened were not normal.
Right. So your sister is named Vanita.
How the hell did you find all this out?
Because I'm very good. I should be a spy.
You should be a spy.
And you're very Italian. So wait, what was the name of the woman downstairs? I just love, because I love the name of your sister's kindergarten.
Yes. So that lady's name is Maria. I guess her maiden name is Manuffo, and then when she got remarried, it was Maria Fidanza. And then I became friends with that girl like in high school. Jeremy, we went to the same high school, and then I had a joke about how, like, I'm friends with her on Facebook, and I can't, like, physically hit her now. We're just too old, so I just named my dogs the same names as her kids, like, to just kind of fuck with her emotionally.
Right.
But, yeah, that's That's like the people we went to school. Like, yeah, I became friends with them and hung out with her in high school.
So you went to, you know, public school, like normal.
I went to Catholic school.
Bro, Catholic school. That's right. And just normal. Did you have to wear like a skirt and everything and all that shit?
And wore a skirt and everything. But my mom is Jewish too.
Right. So that was good. Why did she send you to Catholic school?
I guess my dad went to Catholic school. They sent us to the same Catholic school my father got abused at. So.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Not like sexually abused, but like he had to like kneel on rice and shit.
Right, right.
And they were like, we should send our kids there.
So you had a Jewish grandparent.
A Jewish grandmother, yeah.
Yeah. And were you close with her?
Very close with her. I was the closest with her out of anyone. And my mother and grandmother have a relationship like me and my mother kind of.
Right.
But me and my grandmother super close. Loved her so much.
Right.
And she was also a gambler. And she lived a life like a comic. She used to gamble. My grandfather would beat her up for losing the rent.
Did she marry an Italian?
Yes. A couple of them.
Yeah.
One guy she married, my mother said, was very handsome, but he had such a big dick, they couldn't have sex.
So does your mother know that?
I don't know. I guess my grandmother and her had a heart to heart.
I never talked about dicks with my mother. I'm telling you that right now. Well, I'm a lesbian too. Wait. So, you know that in the lineage that you are a Jew. Do you realize that? Yes.
Yeah,
so we consider you 100% Jewy, FYI.
I figure that. But like, my grandmother died when I was kind of too young to realize that she thought everyone hated her because she was Jewish.
Right.
So like, I didn't really get that aspect of that until I was much older. I was too young.
Did you do anything Jewy when you were growing up?
No, my grandmother didn't do anything Jewish.
So, and your mother, in turn, didn't do anything Jewish.
My mother didn't do anything either. She got baptized so she can get like married in the church or something.
Oh my God.
My mother would have also, if she married a Jewish guy, she would have just done that then.
Right.
You know, she wasn't raised with religion.
Right.
But my grandmother.
Or a backbone. Good night, folks. Take care.
I mean, whatever. I don't care about religion. But my grandmother had a son who was a Hell's Angel and got killed, and like her and her whole life was just depressed about her son.
Of course. You know, I had that. My mother had a brother who was killed. He was 15.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry. That's awful.
Yeah. And it definitely goes from generation to generation. And in fact, they don't, you know, my family never dealt with it. It was in 1939, actually.
On
the Upper West Side. Yeah. My parents were old when they had me. I'm old. Yeah. And I'm telling you, my mother, like, we would be 5 minutes late and she would be freaking out. And I have noticed, you know, whenever the kids, I can't get a hold of the kids, I swear to God, it goes right to some horrible fucking, you know, just shit. And I can really make up some good shit about, you know, kidnapping and car accidents and So, all right. So
my grandmother just never got over that. And I think my mom
of course
that.
Not. Did she ever go to therapy?
My mother does. I don't think my grandmother ever did. She just like gambled and took pills and stuff.
She
seems like a fun lady, to be honest. I wish she lived like a lot longer.
Hey everyone, I have a new sponsor and I love them. They're called OneSkin. OneSkin. And what is OneSkin? It is skincare. Skincare that is simple. I guess that's the perfect word. It's simple. It you don't have to put on 18,000 products while you're like dying to get in bed. OneSkin was founded by 4 PhDs dedicated to skin longevity. And this stuff proves you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. Their supplements, they're topical, and they make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without putting all that other shit, I said shit, on your face. And the secret of OneSkin is their OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent, did you like that? Senescent cells, those little cells that contribute to skin aging. And the fewer amount of cells that they're called zombie cells, that means healthier, younger looking skin, fewer wrinkles, fewer lines, reduced age spots, natural barrier. And that is very important, especially now it's spring and summer and you're going to be out in the sun. So, you know, you love your skin, so do something for it. Return it the favor of having skin and treat it nicely. Does that make sense? Well, so I'm very excited about OneSkin and I haven't gotten my product yet, but I am really, really, really looking forward. So I'm going to be giving you an update on my skin, but you should do it with me. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off their first OneSkin purchase using the code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co. And it's oneskin.co. You really, really need to invest in your skin. It's very important. So OneSkin, you're going to do this today. You're going to go to oneskin.co. It is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off using code JUDYGOLD at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code JUDYGOLD. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. You're welcome.
So how did your parents meet?
So my mom was looking for an apartment. She had gotten married and had me.
Right.
He was addicted to methadone. And she was like, he's never going to get off methadone. So she left him, went to look for an apartment. And the guy that was at the place was my dad. She started dating right away. So that's how she met him. She went from one. She was also like 22, which is crazy to me.
Your dad, the mailman, is not your bio dad?
No, he's not my biological father. He adopted me.
Right. But did you ever meet your bio methadone dad?
Yes. I met him a couple years ago.
Right.
His whole family is like jealous of me. When we met, he acted like he was cheating on me with his wife. Where the second time, like we met the second time, and he was just like, "Hey, I don't know if my wife's going to change the locks on me. They don't know I'm here." I was like, "They know we're not fucking, right? Like this is so bizarre that everyone is
so
upset."
It's your father. I mean, I wouldn't say father. I would say sperm donor.
Exactly. But the fact is like he married somebody who had two kids from her first marriage and she's jealous of me, that girl, because she's not his kids. Blood daughter.
Right.
Yeah, but she's 45 now. It's like, get over it. It's so fucking crazy. Do you know the wife, Diane, sent me a letter in the mail. She handwrote me like a 5-page letter telling me I was ruining their life. And she kept saying, give me back my Joey. Like it was so fucking Amy Fisher and Mary Bonifacio. Who says, give me back my Joey?
Wait, Amy Fisher. Sorry.
Amy Fisher. Yeah.
Wait. So how did you end up meeting your bio dad?
You know, throughout my childhood, he would contact my family and my family would contact. It would be like, oh, we're going to let them see each other. Like he gave up total rights to me.
Right, right, right. Did he live close by?
Yeah, he lived like 7 minutes from my house my entire life.
Oh my God. Wow.
Like one time my mom ran into him when I was in, remember Caldors?
Yes.
We were in a Caldors. And we met and she seen him and like she told me after who he was because we lived in the same neighborhood basically.
Right, right.
Like one neighborhood over.
Wait, so you bump into him and then your mother's like,
I was a kid though. Yeah.
And she's like, that's your bio dad? Like what? That's so fucked up. Because all right, the reason I'm fascinated with this is because, you know, my kids are from anonymous sperm donors. So,
I'm fascinated with it. I haven't even fully processed it.
Yeah, I bet. So, did you ever feel like after you found out, like how old were you when you found out that you were adopted?
I think like 12.
So, from that point on, did you ever feel like anything different about your dad or no?
I think because we didn't grow up with money, I just kept thinking that he owed us a lot of money. I think that was my first thought as a kid, where I was like, that's how we're going to get out of this apartment. He's going to give us all that money.
Right.
But he was also like a cab driver and poor too.
Right. And you never felt less than with your adopted dad?
No.
Or I think he actually, your sister?
No. The weird thing is my dad, I think because he was aware of that, I think he was nicer to me. Like me and my sister, me and my sister used to fist fight as kids.
Right.
My sister would scream. My father would beat her. And he'd say, I hit you because you scream. Next fight, same thing. She screams, she gets hit. And I don't know if he did that because she was just screaming, but like he was nicer to me. I was an easier kid to like growing up. I had a lot of friends. Right. I was just gifted in school. Like my sister, you know, had like teen diabetes and then they got her the Rottweiler. And my sister has this weird thing where she like kind of takes over my mother's position in a relationship. If she knew I was saying that, she'd be so mad at me, but we don't talk all the time anyway. So whatever.
Right. And she's but not like, listening. Yeah.
She like kind of like hung out with my dad and took over my mom's role. Not like sexually, romantically, but like was always with him, like his buddy so much that like it was weird. And then she kind of did the, I think she just misses like a male father figure. So like when my dad died, my mom got remarried and she kind of did the same thing.
That's like just so, is she married?
She has a boyfriend now, but like it just like needs to take care of somebody. Do you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
Like she loves doing laundry. Like we'd be sitting at dinner and she'd be like, take your clothes off. I want to go wash them. And you're like, no I just sat down. Yes. Take your shirt off. I want to go wash this. So you should just sit.
Not so,
my sister, you know, my grandfather, my stepfather would just be sitting there with no shirt on eating lasagna or something, you know, chicken. It's such a weird thing.
That's so funny. I never saw my father without a shirt on or in a button down. I mean, like, he always, and I grew up next to two Italian families and they'd be out in the yard with their, you know, tank shirt tops, off. You know, my button down shirt. Mental.
They never really did that. My dad and even my stepbrother was much older. I was like 22, 23 when they started dating. So I wasn't in the house that much. But like my mom, I think because she said that my biological father, she thinks he molested their sisters. So that's another reason why she didn't want me with him, which I appreciate. So I think because of that, she was so cautious to leave me with my dad thinking he was going to fuck me. And my father wouldn't even hug me. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, if I had no pants on or something, he'd be like, go put pants on. Like,
you know
what I mean? Like, but I think my mom
fucked
had
up communication in that family. The communication. Yeah. Really bad. I had fucked up. Yeah. I totally relate to that fucked up communication and like, you know, and no hugging. Same. No physical affection, except for my grandmother. And I got hit with the belt and stuff. Yeah, but mostly me because I was really the most obnoxious one. But that's so weird. So,
like, I remember, I'll just say this because you said not about the hugs. I was 18 years old. I remember what I was wearing. I had overalls on. I sat on my father's lap and I said I loved him. And my mother went to him, Joe, put your arms around her and tell her you love her. Like, and he also grew up with a dysfunctional family.
Right.
So it's like, you don't realize this as a kid, how fucked up all that is. And then, you know, you go to therapy and you're like, oh, is this why I have so many addictions? Because I'm covering up all this pain.
Right. You know, it's funny because and they'll get mad at me. My brother and sister were not nice to me. And so when I will say stuff to my therapist about like, yeah, but then I feel like they're going to turn on me. Like when I always have this feeling people are going to turn on me, you know what I mean? After we're, and she's like your sibling. And I just hate when she does that. But yes, you realize it all comes from like, you know, you're happily playing and then all of a sudden we're going to get, you know, like it's so fucked up. It's so fucked. We're going to lock you in the basement. Bye. You know, I was like, well, we were just playing 2 seconds, you know. It's so, all that stuff fucking stays with you for the, so annoying. All right. So you're going to Catholic school. So that is not Catholic school, as far as I know, from all my friends that have gone to Catholic school, not fun. And were they allowed to hit you and stuff in Catholic school?
They weren't allowed to hit you, but they could definitely like push you around. Like I remember I got like the hand around my neck and, you know, they could kind of just like toss you. They couldn't hit you, but they could like, they could be handsy.
And were they nuns?
Yes. They were nuns. And like, they remembered my father. So I think they carried some of that anger over.
Right. Did your sister have problems with them too, or no?
Had problems just because she wasn't as quick of a learner in school. So she had more of those problems, where I had more of like the class clown problems and like doing stuff like that. Yeah.
So your sister's in kindergarten and your mother saving a seat.
Okay. First of all, who even needs to see kids in kindergarten graduate? Like, it's the dumbest thing. Like, who cares where you're standing?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? But like, I guess my mom had saved like 4 seats or something. So she tapped the girl Kimberly Faircloud, which is such a fucking awful name.
I love
name.
That name.
Kimberly I know.
Faircloud. Okay.
It's such a bizarre name. So she went to tap her on the shoulder and just be like, hey, I'm saving these seats. That's it. And her mother, Roseanne, went fucking berserk. And they got into a
Roseanne Faircloud?
Roseanne Faircloud. Went berserk. I start crying because I'm like, oh, my mom's going to get beat up. And then my mom and her both had like black eyes. My mom held her own, but like I was still like so scared.
Wait,
so by
it. Like, did they go? So they did anyone intervene? Fight. No one intervened?
I think I ran away and was scared. I didn't.
And
I don't
then
know
the
what
nuns came over and were like, stop, stop.
No, the nuns were like, I'll show you how to hit her.
and then they went on with the graduation with the 2 black eyes. That's great. Did you ever bump into Kimberly Faircloud?
Me and her got into our own little stuff in the yard, like in the schoolyard after.
Did you beat the shit out of her?
We didn't beat the shit out of each other. We just like kind of did that thing where you grab someone's hands and dig your nails in. But like there was also frustration there also.
Yeah.
But like.
What is she doing now, Kimberly Faircloud?
I don't know. She left school rather early.
We got to find that out. I wish I had. I wish I had an assistant. Where go find out where Kimberly Faircloud.
I can't find her. I have no idea where she is. She also had very tiny eyes, so I want to see what happened to her face. I want it, and her sister did too. Her sister looked like a pillow, so I want to see if their eyes got bigger. I have no idea what happened to them, but they left school very early, like maybe second or third grade.
Wow, we got to find them. High school. What's going on in high school? Popular, not popular?
I was popular. I went to an all-girls school.
Right.
So it wasn't like, I don't think it was as chaotic as like dealing with being, like I was popular. I had a lot of friends. So like, high school was fine for me. It was very easy. I didn't really have to study.
Right. And you got good grades.
I got good grades. High school was like the best time of my life. And I know everyone talks about I know a lot of people talk about how it was the worst time of their life, but it was like my favorite time of my life.
Really?
Yes.
See, that usually people who love high school do not become stand-up comedians.
I know.
And I feel like life is high school. Like you go, especially showbiz is for sure high school. You know, you got your burnouts, you got your jocks, you got your, you know, class clown.
Drug addicts. Got,
drug addicts, art, you know, gay, whatever. So you graduate, you go to college.
No. So this is the thing why I think I loved high school so much. It was just like a fun time. It was like the thinnest I ever was. I was getting all this attention for, and I said this the other day, I was like, it was the thinnest I ever was. And my family didn't even capitalize on it. They should have taken me to rich neighborhoods and let me date those guys, but they just let me date the poor slobs in the Bronx.
Right. Right.
So like, I couldn't even fuck my way into upward mobility.
Right.
Like they had no plan for me at all.
And so your father, how old were you when he died of cancer?
He was 22 or 23.
Yeah. Okay. So you had him all through high school and you had, and is your mother, she stopped, she was doing stand up, right?
And she would do it and stop and do it and stop. And I remember going to like a bringer show at Stand Up New York with my dad on the bus when I was like 18 or something. And she would do it like at a restaurant. Like, or something, you know what I mean? Like,
you would go.
I would go because I had to go. I was like one of her people she was bringing, I think.
Right. So she went on, she had bringer.
I thought it was the dumbest thing ever.
Right. Was your father like, your mother's crazy? He's just doing the stand. Like, did I ever meet your mother?
Maybe. I don't know.
I know. It's so weird. Okay.
You might have. My dad, I think, would just go along with it to shut her up.
Right. And what about your sister, Vanita? I just want to say Vanita. That's why I have to.
What about her? And none of us thought it was like a real thing.
Right.
You know, like she didn't have a job or anything.
But I mean, I think about being a parent and my kids have been going to comedy clubs with me, you know, since, you know, day one when I couldn't get a babysitter. But then I think, Like, how fucking weird is that? That's not normal. Like, most people don't hang out, have their kids hanging out in comedy club. It's just weird. I just think it's odd. It's an
odd. Yeah, but you had success early on. My mom really never did. Do you know what I mean? Like, she did stand up, and it was back in the day where she was like, oh, maybe if I get famous, I'll buy you a car phone.
Right.
Remember
right,
when you had like a phone in the car? I was like, oh my God, I hope my mom hits it big.
So I can get a car phone.
Hey, everybody. If you know me, you know I love my liquid IV, and I love giving it to people and telling people about it. And it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV. And I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold. And it keeps me hydrated and it's delicious. So thank you, Liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying. You know what I'm talking about. And it has helped her immensely with her dehydration, that it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love Liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lover, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. Whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your Liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome.
What was your first job? Because I know, I have a whole list of your jobs.
I've had a bunch of them.
Worked as a crime victims advocate.
Yes, and that's where
South Bronx.
Yes, I worked as a crime victims advocate. Right after college, I was considering going to law school.
Law school. Yeah, I read that. Yes.
And then my mom actually took me to a comedy club or like my first open mic. And then I got addicted to it from that first time because I did relatively well. There was like 5 people in the restaurant.
Right. So it was an Italian restaurant, you said, right?
In like Brooklyn somewhere.
And wait, just to go back.
Mm-hmm.
I read that your mother rented out dogs and cars for money. Is that true? Film and TV?
So she didn't rent them out. She would use like my dog that I had, my boxer. She was like on the Sopranos.
Sopranos, right.
Yes.
And then your car was in a 50 Cent movie.
Yes. How much fucking information? How did you do this all? It's like so much information to look up.
I don't know. I feel like it's, you know, that's why I love doing my podcast. I mean, it's a labor of love because I make no money from this, but
I get that.
You know what I mean? Like, I love that shit. It's so funny. You have a crazy mother and a gambling mailman dad. It's like, it's the perfect. All right. So your mother takes you. And when do you get this first? And what are you doing now? Are you the legal secretary? Are you the...
I was a crimes victims advocate at that
so
time.
What would,
I was at the
like,
DA's office.
Okay. So I'll come in. And mm-hmm. So who meets with you? Like, I'll be like, listen, I just got robbed at gunpoint in my Chevy.
Well, it was an interesting job and I really liked the work. Like, it's a weird job because I don't love helping people, but I did like it because it was social work.
Right. And you didn't have a degree, but you were, did you have to take a certificate? Like, didn't you have to take a class or something?
I went to college and it was like, you're getting paid $27,000.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like you, I don't know. I think as long as you had a bachelor's degree, they were like,
where did you go to college and what did you study? Cause I couldn't find that anywhere.
Ooh, I went to Westchester for 2 years and then I went to Fordham. So yeah,
what did you study?
Sociology.
Nice. Good for comedy.
Because I wanted to go to law. Yeah, well, I was right. going to go to law school. But anyway, so it was an interesting job. Like I remember one guy got shot a bunch of times where he's pooping into a colostomy bag. And like my job was getting this guy more colostomy bags. Like that's what a crime victims advocate does. Is right. Like you advocate for these people who are affected by crime. And I liked it. But the girl that worked there like 6 years and she was still making $27,000.
Right. And you're like, fuck this shit. But also that's interesting because each case is different. Like what was your weirdest case besides the colostomy bag?
Well, there's a couple. There was this one lady that came. I mean, I got lucky because I was in the assault division. And then one time somebody from like domestic violence and like the rape part I did. And that's just like, it's really a lot to hear. Like
right.
a mother letting their kid sleep in the bed with the boyfriend, he molests that. I mean, like that's a lot as a, you know, I wasn't prepared for that.
Right.
But the weirdest case is this guy came in, he came in, and I forget what happened. Like everyone knows how to work the system too. Like if you're in the housing department, you have to have a certain amount of, I think, orders of protection, and then you get moved up and you could get moved first. So like everyone knows all of this stuff. This guy comes in, he says he's getting, you know, bullied or whatever. He wants to move. This guy steals my wallet and I end up becoming a victim of crime.
Yeah.
And it was such, and I think it was at that point I had started doing stand-up and I was like, I'm out of here.
Right. Or and I'm going to go to the next desk and talk to her.
I was like, I'll just counsel myself through it. Yeah. I was like, I should not take a job in the South Bronx.
Right. Wow. And so your father dies, you're 22, 23. I was in my 20s too. It really does change you. It makes you, I remember feeling older.
Okay.
It became my first sort of before and after, you know, like you have these before and afters in your life where you're a different person. So
yeah.
That was my first real, and it sort of made me also more fearless on stage. Cause I was like, oh, I can talk about death and I can talk about what, you know, it's not like it.
How old were you when you did stand up?
Huh?
How old were you when it? Yeah.
First time I did it, I was 19. I was in college.
Wow.
Someone dared me to do it. And then I won some contest where I got to, this was 1981. Then in 1982, I won this contest where I got to perform 5 minutes with this was this show. Adrian Tulsh. Do you know, I don't know if you know any of these people. Adrian Tulsh, Larry Amrose, and Bill Schaft. Bill Schaft was the head writer.
I heard of him. Yeah.
His wife was Adrian. And Larry Amrose has written for he's like amazing. Okay. So they're doing this thing called Campus Comedy. And I won this thing where I got to do 5 minutes. And they told me after the show, you're really funny. And I was like, really? And Adrian was the MC at Catch a Rising Star on Monday nights, which was the open mic night. And she said, come in on a Monday. And I'm like, I'm a sophomore in college and I start, you know, going to the city to try to get, I didn't realize I was never going to get on, but I really got to watch everyone.
That's really cool.
I watched Larry David. I remember, they're dead comic, you know, I just, Belzer was the MC. It was amazing. So I really, you know, Boozler, Carol Lee, like I saw Paula Poundstone. So anyway,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I kind of started when I was 19 and I would go anywhere. I couldn't even drink yet. And by the time I started getting road gigs, I did graduate. So I took several months off or almost probably a year off and finished my degree. I was at Rutgers, but you know, I traveled and I wasn't old enough to rent a car yet, but yeah, I knew the minute I did it, that was what I wanted to do. And unfortunately, it's what I still do. So, yeah. So
but you're so successful.
Oh,
you're,
my.
Like your one man show, like one woman shows and stuff. Like,
oh,
it's awesome.
Thank you.
I know that you were bummed out about, you know, you were supposed to be in this Broadway play and stuff like this, but it's going to happen. Like,
oh, you're so sweet. Yeah. I mean, look, I think people think, I mean, and I love women comics. Like, I've realized, I've watched all the guys help each other. All the guys would get something, you know, Ray Romano, surrounded by his guy friends, you know, all writers, producers, all living on, you know, in nice homes. You know, I watched every one of these guys bring their friends along. And I, you know, the women never got the opportunities. And then it always felt there wasn't enough room, you know, I can't, because then they'll want, you know, and plus we never got to work with each other. That's the other thing.
People right.
Guys,
there's one woman on a show.
Right. So we never got to work with each other. And so that created this sort of competitive, and you would call people and be like, oh, congratulations. But in your mind, you're like, oh, fuck. So now I got to wait another. Not that you're not happy for them, oh, God, that opportunity is gone.
But like five of your dude friends get the same opportunity because there's more space for it.
Right. And so I swore I would always be an advocate for the women. Like, I love having women. I mean, I do have guys open for me every now and then, like, you know, Tony Deo or Gary Veit. Like,
he's really great.
Yeah. And great joke writers and stuff. But we need to do that for each other. That's what we fucking need, to support each other.
I always try and do it. Yeah. I just don't have that many opportunities. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I've helped like women get like managers, but like sometimes my manager would suck. And then I'm like, oh, I think I brought you down. You probably could have done better without me. So sorry about that.
But, you know, people think, I have to say, you know, people like, oh my God, you're so successful. I have had to work.
Oh, absolutely.
I
don't think like you were handed stuff, but you are very successful. Yeah.
Well, not nearly as successful as I want to be, but yeah.
But that's everybody.
Yeah. But it's also like, I was never lazy Yeah. And I watch so many of my friends get shit easily and they're financially secure and don't have to, like, I just don't want to have to ever worry about money again. Like, I'm in my house. I bought it in 1994.
That's amazing.
Yeah. When I was on All American Girl, I took the money with Margaret Cho. I was on that show, took the money and bought this house. And I swear to God, this house has gotten me through divorce, almost bankruptcy, but not quite, you know, like just remortgaging, you know, I've lived off of this house and for years people were like, get rid of the house and you'll have money. And I'm like, no, I'm never getting rid of the house. And thank God. Everyone's like, thank God you never got rid of the house. But yeah, so it's been a struggle and I've had so many ups and downs and it just sucks. Even though I never wanted to be it's harder because I'm a woman, but it's harder for women in every profession. And you know, like,
absolutely.
For comedy, that's the thing. It's like, there's guys that get on stage and they're so like, you know, yeah, porn, everything's about porn and my girlfriend and my fucking sports and my fucking wife isn't, you know, and everyone's fine with that. But the minute a woman does a joke about shopping or,
You're just like a lady comic.
Yeah, menopause or this or that. It's like, no one wants to hear that. No one wants to hear about your fucking balls and your fucking cock.
But and your addiction to porn.
Right. And so, you know, that's why I love your comedy, because you're like me. I never wanted to be like everyone. I just wanted to be a great comic, you know? And I never focused on the gender thing. But, you know, for some, you got to acknowledge it's there, you know?
It's there. And I think because it is, everyone wants to put you in a box.
Right.
Jeremy, like as a comic, you're like, okay, so I'm not like the hot comic. So I think because I'm dark, they just assume I'm dirty. And I'm like, I'm not super dirty.
No, you're not dirty at all.
But that's what I'm like, that is my box.
Right. And you just got to go, fuck you. That's what you got. Cause everyone's like, she's filthy. I'm like, I don't say anything. I curse, but that's it.
Yeah, you're not filthy.
I don't even fucking, I don't talk about like, you know, disgusting shit and fucking and anal. And I don't do, you know, I'm not filthy. Sorry. So did you work as a nanny? Did I?
Yeah, I was a nanny for, I've done that on and off for years. I did it.
Like, which is so, I find that interesting.
I know because everyone thinks I'm an awful person because of my jokes. And I'm like, just because I could do a school shooting joke doesn't think I think school shootings are good. Right. I'm nice to animals. I love animals. I'm nice to kids. I would never want anything bad to happen to anyone that's like weak. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it is weird.
Yeah, but if you were a guy, they wouldn't even question it, you know?
Probably not. But everyone's like, oh man, you're not going to like kill the kid. It's like, no, I'm not violent, asshole.
I'm
not a monster. Like,
right.
But yeah, I've done that for a while. And I'm actually relatively good with kids.
That's so good. And you don't want kids, correct?
No, I got another puppy and every day I think I can drown her and it gets me through the day where I'm like, there's a way out. Like, it's so much work. It's so much work.
I know
how much having a puppy, and she's the cutest thing, but she's so much, she's like tearing my apartment. Like,
right. I know people don't realize, they're like, yeah, let's get a dog. And they don't realize how fucking much work it is.
It's a lot of work in the beginning.
Thank you so much for listening to part one of Kill Me Now with Adrienne Iapolucci. Come on, how funny is she? Kill Me Now is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling. This podcast would not be possible without the help of Brittany Jo Sowards. If you like the show, I mean, how can you not? Seriously, make sure to subscribe, leave a review. It helps more people find this incredible, incredible work of art. 5 stars only, please. Also, if you haven't purchased my book, yes, I can say that. When They Cut for the Comedians, We're All in Trouble, you're an asshole. That's it. No, I think you would love it. So go get it, and I need the money. It would mean so much to me if you would check all my crap out at myjudygold.com or follow me on Twitter and Instagram for everything I'm doing and everything I'm thinking, which is, you know, all dates, everything. At Judy Gold, JEWDYGOLD, you know, like Jew Gold, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm a Jew. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. Wear a mask. Be well. This is almost over. Please, God Almighty. And thank you so much for listening. And as we always say, so long.
Don't forget to tune in next week to Just Kill Me Now.
Just Kill Me.
Oh. Don't forget to turn... For part two on Just Kill Me.
No, it's not. It's just
Kill Me.
Now. No,
Judy Gold's Just Kill Me.
Just
Kill Me Now. Just Kill Me Now.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.